I have really come to respect y'all through the prayer line, through the testimonies I hear because of the prayer line, my getting acquainted with you. I have come to know that you really do want to see God move and do things. You want to see miracles. You want to see the Holy Spirit move in your life. You want to see miracles happen when you pray. You don't want to just pray. You want to pray and see miracles happen. I know that. I've watched you. I know that's where your heart is. So how do we mere mortals perform miracles? This is a trick question. Yeah, we don't, technically, right? The only way we can perform miracles is when the Holy Spirit moves through us. And he does that through what some have called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to call it tonight just spiritual gifts. And you'll know that when I talk about spiritual gifts, I'm talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. Paul mentions 9 gifts here, and he calls them gifts of the Spirit. And so that's kind of where we get that terminology from. But you know what? I think there are more gifts than that. I think any time that the Holy Spirit is moving through us, that's a spiritual gift. And I'll explain that here in a little bit. I want to give you my definition of a spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7, Paul says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing or discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills." We're not going to get into the details of all the gifts of the Spirit tonight, but I just want to encourage you some in how to be used in the gifts, because folks are asking me that question. How can I be used more by the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Maybe I've just got one gift, and maybe there's nothing else for me. And how can I be more sensitive to hear what the Lord's saying and to be able to be more sensitive to his move through me? And we're going to talk about those things. Let me define spiritual gifts this way. This is whether we're talking about dreams or prophecy or word of wisdom or any spiritual gift. You can always tell it's a spiritual gift because, first of all, it comes entirely and completely from God through the Holy Spirit. A spiritual gift comes to accomplish what no human being could accomplish. Sometimes we call those supernatural things, we call them miracles. Our efforts, our talents, our own giftings and abilities have absolutely nothing to do with spiritual gifts. We're simply the vessels through which these gifts flow. Okay? Some of the characteristics of spiritual gifts include the fact that they are short-term. That means they're there just for a specific purpose. They're very focused. They accomplish something specific that God wants to do, and then they're gone until the next time he wants to move through us. I want to give you an example of that in Elijah's life in a minute. That means that spiritual gifts don't belong to you. They're not ours to use any way we want to. They come when something specific is needed. God does what he wants to do, and then that gift leaves. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us, but that gifting, that particular gifting at the time, leaves us. Spiritual gifts are always supernatural. They're always there to do what is impossible without the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, we can see spiritual gifts operating through the prophets. You know, the miracles they did were few and far between, weren't there? There wasn't a whole lot going on. And as a matter of fact, the prophets themselves, there weren't many of them that were used by the Holy Spirit. But we live in a different age. We live in a different time. We live in the era of Pentecost, or a Pentecostal era after the day of Pentecost, when God said, "I have come to pour out my Spirit on all flesh so that men and women can dream dreams and have visions and so people can speak in tongues." I mean, all the kinds of things that Paul is talking about, spiritual gifts, they're there because God has poured out his Holy Spirit on everybody who will receive that gift. Spiritual gifts aren't just for the preacher or for the prophet or the apostle. Spiritual gifts now are for every believer. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Mark 16, he said, "I expect that those who have believed will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak in new tongues." These are things that God expects every believer to do. These things only come through these spiritual gifts. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Jesus said, "You're going to do a lot more than I did." because of this comforter that I'm sending, because you'll be able to operate in these spiritual gifts. It's not like you get a spiritual gift. This is every believer should be available all the time to operate in any and all spiritual gifts. I've heard people say that, well, you know, I wonder what spiritual gift he's given to this person here. Of course, if you're really spiritual like me, you might have two or three gifts, but most folks just get one if they're lucky. And that's just absolutely not true. That's not God's plan for us. God wants us all to be available to move through this. Turn to 2 Kings 4, and we'll start with an Old Testament example of a spiritual gift in operation through Elisha. Now, the story really starts earlier when Elisha visits with a woman who wants to have a baby. And as a matter of fact, he keeps traveling through her area, and she says, look, when you come through, just stop here and we'll take care of you on your journey. And so one time he's doing that, and he says, you know what, you want a baby? I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to give you a baby. And that happens. Has a son. The boy is growing and goes out working in the field with his father, and he dies, probably dies of heat stroke. Let's pick up the story in 2 Kings 4, starting in verse 25. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. See, the boy dies. This is a funny part of the story. You got to read the story. The boy dies, and the mother says, okay, get me a donkey and a servant. And the dad, you know, is kind of like, well, what for? The boy's dead. And, no, man, she's got a mission, right? So anyway, she goes to Mount Carmel where the man of God is. And it came about that when the man of God saw her at a distance, that he said to Gehazi's servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. When she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God, this is Elisha, said, let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her. And listen to this. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, don't deceive me? And then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins and take your staff in your hand and go on your way. And if you meet anybody, salute him. If anyone salutes you, don't answer him. And then go and lay your staff on the lad's face. And the mother of the lad said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. He arose and he followed her back to the house with Gehazi's gone before him. It says in verse 31 that Gehazi lays Elisha's staff on the lad's face, but nothing happens. And so he goes back to Elisha and says, the boy didn't wake up. And Elisha says, well, come into the house. Behold, the lad was dead and laid on his bed. So he entered and he shut the door behind them both. And he prayed to the Lord. And he went up and he lay on the child. And he put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, stretched himself out on him. And the flesh of the child became warm. And he returned and he walked into the house once back and forth and went up and he did this again. He did this seven times and the boy comes back to life. Okay, now, there are a few kind of interesting things we can see in this story about the operation of spiritual gifts. One of them is when we see that Elisha didn't know why the woman was coming, we see that spiritual gifts don't always operate when we want them to. They're not up to us. They're not under our control. They're under the control of the Holy Spirit. One time in a church we had in Texas, I prayed and prayed for a man who was part of our church. I knew that there was something wrong, and I kept praying, Lord, reveal to me what's going on in this man's life so I can pray for him. And the Lord never revealed it to me. And then later, after we left that church, we discovered that the man was having an affair with his secretary. And she wasn't even that pretty. I mean, it was just an awful thing. And I often wonder, Lord, why didn't you reveal that to me at the time so I could pray for him? And I tell you, I still don't know. But sometimes that's the way it is. We're not in control of these gifts. One of the salespeople that works for me in a computer business was going through a pretty rough patch, and we're all commission only. If we don't sell something, we don't get paid, and he wasn't selling much at all. And he was worried, and he was thinking about taking a different job, and I told him, I said, called him up. I said, I was praying for you today, and the Lord told me that you're going to have this month and the next month, and there's going to still be hard. But that next month after that, the Lord's really going to bless you, and you're going to have some big commissions come in. You need to hang in there till that happens. Well, that is what happens. That's exactly what happened. Well, I didn't know that. I had no way of somehow figuring that out. That was the gift of word of knowledge that the Lord was operating through me with. Now, you'll notice that that's a story about business. And I know that doesn't sound very spiritual, but listen, God is interested in every aspect of our life, and the Holy Spirit will dispatch his gifts into your life every chance he can, if you'll let him. Any chance he gets to help you that way, he'll do that. Okay, let's look back at Elijah here. The next thing Elijah does is he tells his servant, take my staff and go touch and heal this boy. Now, I can tell you that he didn't have a word from the Lord about doing that because it didn't work. He was just going on his past experience, and I'm sure this will be a good thing to do, and so I'm going to do it. This helps us understand these spiritual gifts that operate, they're temporary. When they're there, they're there. When they're not there, they're not there. They're not at our beck and call. Okay, well, anyway, so finally Elisha arrives, and he prays for this boy. And as he's praying for this boy, the Lord's telling him how to pray for him. Stretch yourself out on him. You do this 7 times. The only part that Elisha's playing in this is he's just being obedient to what he's hearing God tell him to do. And as Elisha is obedient to what it says, then that gift of healing is able to begin to operate through Elisha. And sure enough, the boy is healed. His act of prayer gave the Holy Spirit a chance to move through him with one of these spiritual gifts and actually accomplish something. Now, when the prayer line was praying for Gloria's father-in-law to be healed from cancer, do any of you have power to heal somebody of cancer? No. But see, as y'all prayed, you gave the Holy Spirit a chance to move. And so that gift of healing, that spiritual gift, began to flow. Who knows who it flowed through? Who knows how many of you it flowed through? It might have flowed through a lot of you and at different times. And eventually, God touched Walter and healed him. So let's come back to this place of how can you operate more in spiritual gifts? How can you be more effective? How can you be more sensitive? I want to give you some examples of spiritual gifts, and I'm going to give you 6 principles that the Lord has that will help you operate in spiritual gifts. And I'm going to use this backpack here, my trusty old backpack. It's been to Kenya with me 3 times. It's done a good job. And I want to illustrate this concept that the Lord has given me about the fact that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to all of us all the time. It's sort of like this backpack. I carry this thing around with me everywhere, and I got all kinds of stuff in there. And so when I need something, I just reach in there and I pull it out. And let's see, here we go. It's a bottle of hand sanitizer. If I need a hand sanitizer, I pull it. It's the way that the Holy Spirit operates with us. It's like in the Spirit, we've got this backpack. And the Holy Spirit is there with any gift that we need. And we just have to operate in it. We have to give it a chance to operate. Let me give you some examples. You can look at Romans 12 and verse 8. We're not going to read that. But it's a place where Paul is talking about a gift. And one of the gifts he mentions is mercy. The definition is mercy and compassion. And I believe that that can be one of the spiritual gifts. It's happened to me many times. When I start to pray for somebody, all of a sudden a great compassion comes on me. I'll bet you y'all have sensed this too, that you just all of a sudden have a great feeling of, I've just got to love on them. I got to pray for them. I got to do something for them because you have a great compassion for them. My father, after we boys had grown and left the house, my dad had also been having an affair with his secretary. And so he decided to serve my mother with divorce papers and leave. And as you can imagine, she was just not real happy with that after 37 years or whatever it was of marriage. And here he's about to leave her. And he was really nasty and ugly about it. And she was not feeling very good toward him and was having a hard time praying for him other than maybe that a car would fall on his head or something like that, you know. So he come over to the house and gotten some of his stuff. And she decided, well, I need to clean out some of his other stuff. And so she went into their closet to gather his stuff up, put it in a box or something. And she reached over and she touched a pair of boots that he had to pick them up. And as soon as she touched those cowboy boots, the Holy Spirit came on her with this gift of compassion. And she said, you know, I thought my heart was going to break. All of a sudden, I could see him through the eyes of Jesus. And I could see the love that God still had for him. And how disappointed God was at what he did. But how much God loved him. After having that gift of compassion flow through her. She said she actually just fell down and was crying. And it was a while before she could get up. It was just so strong. But after she had that experience with that spiritual gift, she knew how to pray for him. Then her heart was ready to be able to pray and intercede on his behalf. And the Lord eventually did do some things in his life, and I think he's in heaven now. He was not always the best guy, but, you know, the Lord took care of that, I think, largely because my mother was willing to intercede for him. So she picked that out of her backpack. Dreams, visions. Maybe we pick those out of our backpack. Dreams, interpretation of dreams. Those are all spiritual gifts that are in operation. Whenever the Lord decides, that happens to us. And so you might say, well, yeah, but dreams and visions, they come unbidden. I can't control those. Yeah, exactly. That's what a spiritual gift is. You can't control it. Not anytime. If somebody says, I want you to come over to my house and pray for me, and you go over there and start praying for them, and the Holy Spirit is not in that at the time, they're not going to be healed. You just can't control it. You don't know when the Holy Spirit's going to move, but you know what? If you quit praying, what happens? Then for sure the Holy Spirit has no chance to move, right? Okay, maybe you pick something else out of your backpack, like working of miracles. That's one of the spiritual gifts. And I'm going to tell this story because Grace loves to hear this story. Debbie and I went to Kenya, and when we were clearing immigration, Kenya, you know, they want us foreigners to give them $50 to get into the country. But they also have to see our passport, right? Because they have to stamp our passport. And so we're standing in line, and there's a lady standing in front of us, and we're talking to her. Pretty soon, somebody says something about, well, I guess we better get our passports out. And so, oh, yeah, that's right. And she has a backpack, something like this one. She sets it down on the floor in front of her, and she starts looking through it, looking for her passport. And she looks and she looks. She literally takes everything out of that backpack, and she cannot find her passport. And she realizes, oh, no, I left the passport on the table in the coffee shop in Amsterdam. You know, the connecting flight that you get to Amsterdam to Kenya. And she is just beside herself. What am I going to do? I can't even go into the country to get back out of the country to get my passport. By now, somebody's probably stolen it. Who knows what's going on? She was really upset. And so Debbie and I said, well, look, let's just pray. We've seen God work these kind of miracles before, and we're going to pray that the Lord will either help you find your passport or he'll bring your passport to you. He'll send an angel to bring your passport to you. You're going to be able to get into Kenya. The Lord, I just know the Lord says you're going to be able to get in. Now, remember, she'd taken everything out of her backpack, and she had put it all back in her backpack, and then she'd zipped it up like this, right? So we prayed just a real simple prayer. 30 seconds or something. Lord, bring her passport to her. Show her where it is. And we said, okay, Lord's going to take care of this. Why don't you look in your backpack again? Well, I already looked in my backpack. It's not there. Well, just look again. And she zips it down, and the passport is sitting right there on top of everything else that's in the passport. And she, woo, it's here. And she picked that thing up, and she's dancing around. Later, we were going to visit the, what is it, National Wildlife Refuge there in Nairobi. And we were in a van, and she and some friends were walking beside our van to go get tickets for the wildlife refuge, and she sees us in the van. And all of a sudden, we're just sitting in the van, and we hear this woman out here start hooping and hollering and dancing around and waving around. She says, that's them! That's them! That's the ones that prayed for me! Well, of course, it wasn't us, right? That was the gift of working of miracles, but it worked through us from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll tell you a more mundane example of that, and this is something that you ought to practice in your house. This is a good chance and a good way to practice letting gifts of miracles work in your house. Anytime you lose anything, the first thing you need to do is pray and ask the Lord to help you find it, and tell him, Lord, if you can't help me find it, then get an angel to send it to somewhere where I can find it, right? One night we were doing something and we lost the vegetable peeler, you know, the magic device that I use to peel my cucumbers with and things. And we didn't know where it was. And we looked around, couldn't find it, kind of late at night. So we just went to bed. We prayed, Lord, help us find the vegetable peeler. Either show us where it is or send an angel to bring it where we can find it. Okay, we went to bed. The next morning when I woke up, the very first thought in my mind was, it's in the kitchen trash. And I knew that the Lord was talking about that vegetable peeler, see. That really wasn't a gift of working of miracles. It was the gift of word of knowledge. Reached in my backpack, and there the Lord was with the gift that we needed right then at the time. And sure enough, we go down, and it's about halfway down in the kitchen trash. It's there. We had accidentally thrown the thing away. Well, you know, I could have short-circuited the Holy Spirit. I could have just said, okay, we'll just go buy another one. But I didn't do that. I wanted to give the Holy Spirit a chance to move in our lives. And that's kind of the whole point of tonight's teaching, is that God wants to move through us. We got to give him a chance to do that. Now, again, vegetable peeler, God is going to get up off his throne about a vegetable peeler. A spiritual gift is going to operate for a vegetable peeler. Yes, think how much more the Lord wants to operate through us to touch people, to heal them, or for miracles in their lives, or all of the prayer requests that you get on the prayer line. Think about that. Let me tell you about a couple of other gifts that I'm certain can be spiritual gifts. I know that we pray prayers, and we pray in our understanding, and sometimes we pray in the Spirit. But I believe there is a spiritual gift called supplications. And it's a gift where the Holy Spirit literally prays through us, or directs us, shows us how to pray. One day a fellow called Grace needed prayer, and Grace decided to call me and get me to agree with her. And I don't even remember exactly what this guy's request was, but he needed something, and we started praying. And through me, the Lord had me pray a very specific prayer for a very specific answer to his need. About a month later, we get a call from this guy. The Lord answered your prayer exactly the way you prayed. He was so excited because it had been answered word for word the way I prayed. And he was acting like, you're really a wise prayer. Well, no, I don't have any idea how to pray for you. That was a spiritual gift operating through me to be able to pray that prayer that was needed. There's another spiritual gift that's related to that. I believe it's the spiritual gift of intercession. Yes, we should stand in the gap and pray for folks on our own understanding when we feel like it, when they ask us to. But there's also a time when this spiritual gift comes to us, and it's like it brings a burden on us to pray. It's a time when the Lord, he may not even show you who or what you're praying about, but he shows you, you've got to pray for something right now. Quit everything you're doing, and I want you to go into intercessory prayer. And usually the best way to do that is by praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. One time my younger brother had gone with some of his friends. He was a teenager at the time. He'd gone down to the river to a fishing shack with his friends, and I don't know, they were going to fish or something. In the middle of the day, my mother is washing dishes, and this gift of intercession came on her a lot. This is one of these ways she operated. She would yield to this very easily. And she's washing dishes, and all of a sudden, the Lord showed her a picture of fire and my brother and his friends. And she had no idea what was going on, but she knew, especially from the burden that the Lord had put on her, this is desperate. And so she starts praying in the Spirit, and she prayed for 2 or 3 minutes in the Spirit very forcefully and very powerfully. And then all of a sudden, that burden lifted, and she knew, okay, it's done. Whatever the Lord wanted to accomplish, he accomplished. About an hour later, Dave walks in the house. And she says, okay, so what happened down there at the fishing cabin? He wasn't going to tell her. He said, oh, everything went okay. Well, you were supposed to be down there a long time, and you're back early. What happened? Oh, nothing. It was all right. What about the fire? And he goes, well, actually, the heater in the cabin caught fire, and we just barely got out with our lives. One of the guys had to dive through one of the windows to get out, but we were all okay. Well, they were all okay because that gift of intercession had operated through my mother literally to save their lives. So let's talk about the 6 things, I think, that can help us be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The first is that you have to know you have a backpack full of gifts. Okay? You have to know that spiritual gifts are available to you all the time and any time. You may not have the choice of which gift to use or when to use it, but they're all there and they're all available to you all the time. You got to realize that. Number two, you have to be looking for a chance for God to move. You know, if I'd just gone out and bought another vegetable peeler, that gift of word of knowledge would have never operated in us. I wouldn't have known any better, see? But when we lost it, we didn't buy another one. We prayed to God and said, show us where it is. We do that all the time, and God shows us where stuff is all the time. So number three, you have to expect and you have to want God to move through you in spiritual gifts. You have to both expect and you have to want God to move through you in spiritual gifts. The Lord's not going to force spiritual gifts on you. You need to hang around people, and you need to hang around churches where spiritual gifts are in operation, where they are encouraged, because you want to be able to expect them and want them. The fourth thing is you have to practice. I know that sounds silly. It's like, well, yeah, but if it's a spiritual gift, then I ought to be able to operate perfectly in it right from the very beginning. Well, if you weren't human, maybe you could. But, you know, we're just human beings, and we have to practice. You have to put yourself in a place where the Holy Spirit might at least work through you. If you think you've got a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or something like that from the Lord, we'll test it. See if it's true. Look, if it's not true, that's okay. Lord's not going to get mad. He's not going to get his feelings hurt. But you're going to learn, oh, I guess God's voice doesn't sound like that. I'll know different the next time. Not too long ago, we were in a church service, and Debbie's hands began to get warm. Well, she has learned through experience that when that happens, that almost certainly means that the gift of healing is about to operate through her. And so, sure enough, she laid hands on a lady there, and that lady was instantly healed. She has learned that through practice. Matter of fact, some of you may have had things happening to you, and you didn't even realize this is a spiritual gift operating through you, like your hands getting warm and you didn't know why, or like you're getting a pain somewhere and it's not yours, it's somebody else's pain. That's the Lord telling you, hey, somebody's got knee problems and that's why your knees are hurting. You need to be praying for those knee problems. Or maybe you see something or you hear something and you just think, oh, well, I guess that was just a coincidence. No, it wasn't a coincidence. That was the Lord. Look for those things in your life, okay? You know, maybe you'll think the Holy Spirit is operating with you through a spiritual gift, and it turns out that it's just your imagination. It's just you hoping. If you don't make any mistakes, you don't ever learn. It's okay to try. It's okay to make mistakes. The Holy Spirit would much rather you try and make a mistake than you not try at all. If you're not out there giving Him a chance to move through you, then miracles are not going to happen. Think about this. As you become more proficient and the Holy Spirit sees that He can use you more and more, think of all the miracles that will happen because you're available. And you'll be right in the middle of it, and you'll be having a blast. It is a lot of fun to let God move through you. Okay, number five, don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that spiritual gifts aren't for you. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that spiritual gifts are not for you. Well, that's for somebody else that God really loves. Well, that's for somebody else that's really spiritual. That's for somebody else that hadn't sinned the way I've sinned. That's for somebody else that's been to sin. Any number of things that's just a lie, okay? God wants to use every one of us. Even, where is Abby? The Lord uses Abby in our home groups. I mean, He's done that three or four times. Spiritual gifts in operation through 5-year-old. Is that how old she is? Yeah. Number six, there's a prerequisite to spiritual gifts operating in your life, and that's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Prerequisite to this is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I suppose spiritual gifts can operate without that, but it's not very common, not as effective or easy. And that would be a subject for another time of teaching, is